When we think of mystics, we think of contemplative monks somewhere off in a mountain by themselves. If they're doing anything at all, they're making up rum fruitcakes for the holidays. We think of them sitting, thinking, reflecting, meditating. In other words, we think of them as men and women of thought. When we think of social justice, we think of activists, street protesters, courtroom advocates, in other words, men and women of action. But these two concepts are indeed related to each other, even though it would not appear to be so on the surface. When we feel the inner stirring of Christ consciousness, we cannot but help to view the world from the standpoint of peace, equality, and with the notion that there must and should be distributive justice in our society. Mystical experiences command that we think in no other way. In April of 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. was incarcerated in Birmingham. He had arrived to protest, to join in the nonviolent direct action. The underlying events, of course, are well known. Merchants and businesses of every sort were in the habit of segregating by race who could enter, who could sit where, who could be employed. The city had agreed to at least keep the stores from putting up humiliating signs in their windows if the demonstrations would but stop long enough for a peaceful mayoral election. But even that promise of a minimum, the bare minimum of human decency, was broken. Hence the continued demonstrations, the arrival of King, and the incarceration. In his famous letter from the Birmingham jail, he writes as follows. But more basically, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century BC left their villages and carried their, thus saith the Lord, far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my own hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, King writes, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. When we are touched by Christ consciousness, our own sense of the divinity, well, we are changed. We can no longer abide by appearances of injustice. It just becomes intolerable. But those who speak truth to empire are, of course, assassinated, crucified, at the very least, condemned. Theologian James H. Cone comments on this, that the cross is the symbol of crucifixion by empire and how it treats those who speak up against it in the name of God, truth, and decency. Cone questioned why we in modern times see the cross as an ornamental adornment rather than what it truly is, a symbol of how we can be tormented by empire for speaking the truth, but at the very same time feel the love of God in all its fullness and all its glory. For you see, we are all broken, humanly, and that is joyful, as we can then be open to receiving God's love, just like the prodigal son coming to himself in the husks and among the swine. That prodigal son merely takes that first step, and God is there to meet us more than halfway. God rejoices in our mutual recognition for who and what we truly are. You see, God is always on the side of the oppressed, the dispossessed, the sinner. Recognizing this, though, does get us in trouble with human empire, and modern-day crucifixions do occur. They also occur by us being silenced and criticized in the media. The Reverend Jeremiah Wright felt this. He made some critical comments on the government years ago, and sound bites taken out of context were used to ridicule him and then caused the sitting president to distance himself. When you listen to the entirety of his sermon, you realize just how blatantly unfair that was. All Reverend Wright was saying was the truth, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is we in our human government that change, and sometimes we change for the good, and sometimes we change for the worse. Why do we change for the worse? Because there is a tendency to self-righteousness that stems within us from deep internal developed hatred that begins with us in our very early ages. The Reverend Howard Thurman points this out in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited. Reverend Thurman writes, "When hatred serves as a dimension of self-realization, the illusion of righteousness is easy to create. Often there are but thin lines between bitterness, hatred, self-realization, defiance, and righteous indignation. The logic of the strong-weak relationship is to place all moral judgment of behavior that we may come to intuitively out of bounds in our society." The Reverend Howard Thurman expanded on this theme of creation of hatred in his book, The Creative Encounter. In that book, he writes, "Man builds his little shelter, he raises his little wall, he builds his little altar, he worships his little god, he organizes the resources of his little life, and then defends his little barrier. But this is all to no avail. It is not until we have the vital religious fellowship that multiplies experiences of unity, unity with each other and unity with God, that is what we need." Now, after reading that, I began to see that it is only then that we get to the point where mysticism, that touching of Christ consciousness, and social justice go hand in hand. This Christ consciousness comes along as our own personal destruction of the temple, our own internal removal of the money changers of cause and effect, of ripping out all the walls of our so-called little shelter, little walls, and little altar. And it is then, only then, that we see what Jesus was talking about when he said such things as, "Eat with the tax collectors, forgive the sinners, attend to the poor, sell all you have, and follow me." And we know this will not come without a price. That price is oppression and ridicule from the current societal status quo. Oppression and ridicule are the price we pay for speaking truth. And when we are so oppressed and ridiculed, we can take comfort. We know we are on the right path with God. It can happen on a small scale, that is, not in the media or in public, but in our daily private lives as well, if we just look. My grandfather, well, both of them really, often lost out financially because they saw and spoke the truth. My grandfather was criticized in the family home because he could not keep his big mouth shut. He worked in the textile mills. The mill owners owned the homes, the grocery stores. They set the prices just above what the earnings were so that one was always in debt to them. He lost many jobs because he would call out the owners on this. You know, union agitators were not looked kindly upon. He spent his remaining work days doing odds and ends, janitorial work, resigned to think of himself as nothing other than a failure, than a troublemaking big mouth. But you know, that was not the truth at all. My other grandfather, a tailor by trade, lost his contract to make the policeman's uniforms as he would not kick back his earnings to the procurement officer. Once again, like my other grandfather, he relegated himself to the label as troublemaking big mouth. Of course, when you think about it, neither of them really had any choice or say so in the matter. Both deeply devout men, they could not sit by and not speak the truth. Now, we have a history of this in our Bible, except we have a better name than big mouth. We call them prophets. Prophets spoke the truth to empire. Empire by the government, empire by the co-opted church and synagogue of the day. Let's see what Micah has to say about the whole matter. Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil? Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones? Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them? And they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time as they have behaved themselves ill in their doing. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there will be no answer of God. Now that sounds bleak, but let's read on for the miracle. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come, and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth in Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Jesus was a prophet who spoke truth to empire and was crucified for it. That crucifixion, though, is what allows us to relive the pain and oppression that he must have felt, and it gives us strength girds our loins, if you will, to stand up for what is right and just. There will always be a Herod. There will always be a Pilate. There will always be Caesar. There will always be a Philistine, a Goliath. There will always be a human element that we need to contend with. And once we experience God's infinite love, and note I said experience it, for it is always there in infinite amounts, it's we who do not turn to it and receive it. Once we experience God's love, well, we cannot sit idly by. We often will come to church when it is open and hear the lesson. We attend now with the telephone service, sit back, perhaps in our pajamas, maybe with the crossword puzzle, a cup of coffee, and listen in. But you know, even if we listen attentively, words alone will not bring about the healing that is needed in this world. We are the instruments through which God does the healing work. It is in our consciousness that the change must take place. We must have that mystical experience. The words from the lessons, the lectures we hear, the words we read, they are just pathways our thoughts can take to the heightened state of awareness. And once we get to that heightened state of thought from the mountain, if you will, why, we are then compelled to think and act differently. Our thoughts, our actions will impart the new consciousness to others, and in kind, they will respond. But we first must do the work. We cannot say, on the one hand, that we love God, that we want to attain some level of Christ consciousness, that we love Jesus, and then go out and compete with our neighbor, ignore the poor, turn away from the suffering of others. If we find ourselves in discordant situations, we need look no further for the resolution than our very own consciousness. Have we harbored a resentment? Have we felt superior in some way? Have we felt less than in some way? Have we chosen to be selfish and self-centered? Have we said at any time, yes, that situation over there that I see is bad, but it is not my problem? Well, then, look no further for why you have not been able to heal. Jesus' parable makes this very plain. At the end of days shall be gathered all nations, and the king shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Then the king shall also say unto them on the left hand, those goats, those stubborn animals that will not follow the rules. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they too shall answer him, saying, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister unto you? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This call to action cannot be any more plain, direct, or clear. If you want healing, a sense of peace, a sense of order or stability in your own life, if you desire, have lack, feel bad, there is only one reason for it. Your house is not in order. You have not paid attention to your neighbor. How can you say you love God, whom you cannot see, yet treat your neighbor poorly or worse, not even think about him or her at all? That neighbor that you can see, the one you ignore, deliberately or inadvertently. Can we not fix this right away? Is this not the call of the Master? Should we not put this into practice right now, right as soon as the service ends? Is there someone we know in the hospital, in prison? Is there someone on the street right now who could use a few bucks, or at least a prayer, or even still, just a kind thought? Can we commit right now that the next time that we hear a divisive comment or slur, that we rebuke that speaker of it with no regard at all for what they might think of us? After all, we are only speaking the truth, and who cares what judgmental think of us anyway? So call someone with whom you have had a disagreement, minor or major. Could be a mother, a father, a daughter, a son, a spouse, an ex-spouse. Tell them you love them. Expect nothing in return. It starts with us. It starts with us. So let's take a few moments in meditation, and we can work together on raising our consciousness. For in the silence, we can be still and let God do the work. Shall we take a few moments now and make this lesson practical? Let's close our eyes. Sit up straight. Take in several cleansing breaths, releasing each breath before we take the next. Just focus on breathing. And be still. In our stillness, some words may come to us. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Revel in the righteous judgment of God. God will render to every man, to every woman, according to his or her deeds. Glory and peace to all who work for good. For there is no discriminator of persons with God. In the presence of God, there is neither male nor female, neither Gentile nor Jew, neither black nor white, but a human spirit stripped to the literal substance of itself before God. In Christ consciousness, we are all one. Take down your little shelter. Take down your little altar. Take down the walls of your exclusive place. Expand. Expand your consciousness, your mind, your thoughts, your actions. Expand outwardly beyond the four walls. Let the joy and love of God come in. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built. Your church, built on joy and love. Look for that joy. Look for that love in oneness. Realize it. It exists everywhere we look when we look for it. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto
in peace. Express love for your neighbor right now, and have a blessed week.